Today, we're going to learn a pretty cool new skill, how to read a body. You know, our posture tells a story, and once you learn the language, you'll start seeing these stories absolutely everywhere. So, let's jump right in.
All right, let's start with a little check-in right now. As you're listening to this, what's your posture telling me? Are you kind of hunched over your phone, slumped back in your chair? Think about it. Every single way we hold ourselves is like a little broadcast to the world. It's telling a story about our habits, our history, and yeah, even how we're feeling in this exact moment.
And honestly, here's the best part. The secret to getting good at this, it's something you can do literally anywhere, anytime. We're talking about people watching. Our source material points out that this simple, everyday activity becomes this incredible tool for training your eye. And come on, it's fun, it's totally free, and I promise, by the end of this, you're going to know exactly what you're looking for out there.
Okay, so before we can start reading bodies, we need a baseline, right? A kind of blueprint. So first up, let's nail down what ideal posture and alignment actually look like.
The main tool we're going to use is something called a plumb line. Just picture an imaginary straight line dropping from top to bottom. Now, the most important part is where it starts. We anchor this line right at the front of the ankle bone. Why there? Well, it's a really stable, consistent spot on the body, which gives us a perfect reference to measure everything else against.
So starting from that ankle point, let's build our blueprint. The ideal alignment looks like this. That plumb line should go right up to the earlobe, then slice through the very middle of the shoulder, the center of the hip, and finally, the midpoint of the knee. Just think of them as checkpoints. When all those points are stacked up perfectly, that's when the body is at its most balanced and efficient.
Okay, but let's be real. That blueprint is the ideal. In the real world, most of us have all these little habits that pull us way off that perfect line. So now for the fun part. Let's dive into the most common ways we all deviate from that blueprint.
So, does any of this look familiar? That text neck or forward head from staring at a screen? Shoulders that are kind of rounded forward from sitting at a desk all day? Or maybe you're someone who locks their knees back when they stand? See, these aren't just random quirks. They are the direct result of what we do over and over, day in and day out. This is where the story our body tells really begins.
All right, now let's talk about a huge piece of this whole puzzle, the pelvis. And our source material has this absolutely brilliant analogy to help us understand it. I want you to picture your pelvis as a big bowl just filled with water. And your goal all day long is to keep that water perfectly level. You don't want to spill any out the front, out the back, or off to the sides.
Let's dig into that a little more. When your pelvis is neutral, that bowl of water is perfectly level. Simple enough. But with an anterior tilt, you're spilling water out the front. That's what gives people that really big arch in their lower back. A posterior tilt is the exact opposite. You're spilling the water out the back, which usually makes the lower back look really flat. Here's another great cue. Think of your hip bones as headlights on a car. You want them pointing straight ahead, not down at the floor or up at the ceiling.
All right, so we've got static posture down. But here's the thing. We don't live our lives standing perfectly still, right? So the next level, the deeper read, is all about seeing how these postural habits play out once the body is in motion.
And this leads us to a really, really important idea. Form dictates function. Basically, how you're built, your posture, determines how you move. But, and this is key, it is a two-way street. Because if you repeat a certain movement thousands and thousands of times, that function will start to change your form. It's this constant feedback loop, and it can work for you or against you.
So if we're going to analyze movement, we have to talk about something called a firing pattern. Now, this isn't just about which muscles are doing the work. It's about the sequence, the exact order they turn on to make something happen. You can think of it like a chain of command in your body. Who's the boss and who are the helpers?
So what does a good firing pattern look like? Well, it's pretty simple, really. It's the right muscle firing first, using just enough force, not too much, not too little, and doing it at exactly the right time. And here's a pro tip. For pretty much any movement you make, your core should fire up first. Its job is to stabilize everything before your arms and legs even start moving. When that sequence gets all jumbled up, that's what we call a compensation.
Okay, let me give you a classic example of this. Picture someone lying face down and they lift one leg straight up behind them. The muscle that should kick on first is the glute max, you know, your main butt muscle. But what happens all the time is that the hamstrings jump the gun and fire first. So the wrong muscle is trying to be the boss. It's way less efficient, and if you do that thousands of times, you're basically programming your body for imbalances and maybe even injury down the line.
So we've looked at standing still, we've looked at moving around, but there is one more piece to this. It's a kind of hidden driver that affects literally everything we've talked about, and it's something we do all day, every day, usually without a single thought.
23,000. That's, on average, how many breaths you take every single day. Just let that number sink in. 23,000 times a day. When you do anything that many times, even the tiniest little problem doesn't just add up, it compounds. It has a huge, huge impact on your entire system.
The thing is, there's a right way and a wrong way to breathe. Optimal breathing is quiet, it's efficient, and it mainly uses the big, powerful diaphragm muscle. But a lot of us, maybe because of stress or just bad habits, fall into a really suboptimal pattern. We start using all these little muscles in our neck and shoulders to pull air in. I mean, just imagine doing 23,000 tiny little shoulder shrugs every day. Is it any wonder so many of us have tight necks and shoulders?
And the reason breathing is so important comes down to this. Your core isn't just about six-pack abs. It's a whole system. The best way to think about it is like a pressurized can. You've got the diaphragm as the lid on top, the pelvic floor is the bottom of the can. Then you've got your deep abs wrapping around the front and sides like a corset, and these little muscles in the back called the multifidus. The key is, they are all connected. You can't change one without affecting all the others.
And here it is, the big aha moment. When you slouch, you are literally crushing that canister. You're squishing it. And that means your diaphragm, the lid, can't move up and down like it's supposed to. So to get the air it needs, your body panics and goes, okay, plan B. And it starts using those little neck and shoulder muscles to pull air in. And that creates this vicious cycle of bad posture and tension.
So you see how it all connects? It's this perfect loop. Your form, your posture, influences your function, how you move. How you move influences how you breathe. And how you breathe 23,000 times a day locks in your posture. Form influences function, and function influences form. It's a powerful feedback loop that now you actually have the tools to see and understand.
So, the story your body is telling? It's not finished. It's not set in stone. Now that you can see the blueprint, you can spot the common habits, and you get the deep connection between posture, movement, and breathing, you're not just reading the story anymore. You're holding the pen. You're the author. The only question left is, what's the next chapter gonna be?